Why work? So what are some reasons why we work? First, I have bills, right? That's a good reason. I sing the song sometimes when I go to work in my head. I don't know about you. I owe, it's off to work I go. I-O-O-W-E, I-O. I have $1 billion in student loan debt. Can anybody say an amen to that? I have people to take care of. Some of us, we have little people to take care of, right? Those little people, they're expensive, man. And then you're looking into college for him, saving up for that. If he even wants to go to college, that's expensive. And he likes Clemson. I don't know what's wrong with him. That's out-of-state tuition. And it's a lot of money. I want nice things. Anybody there? That might be why you work. I want nice things. Nothing wrong with having nice things. What about this one? I'm passionate about the field I'm working in. Maybe that's why you work. Hopefully you are passionate about the field you're working in. Or maybe you've retired and you decided, you know what, I just can't sit at home all the time and I need something to do, right? Those could be some reasons why you are working. So to answer the question on why work, I'm going to answer it pretty quickly today, but I'm not going to be done right off the bat, okay? I'm just sharing that. Oh, I meant to start my timer. There we go. I'm starting my timer, all right? I'm 3 minutes behind already. I'm on the timer. Just to let you know, when it gets 65 minutes, I'm going to stop. I want to make Devin proud, okay? Now, listen, he normally throws out a joke. I forgot to tell my joke this morning. So my son came to me last night. He went to a Huntsville Havoc game, right? And so he went with his grandparents. We stayed at home. There were two games. UAH played first, and then Huntsville Havoc played. And so he said, Daddy, why does it get so hot at the end of a sports game, why does it get so hot? Because all the fans leave. Yeah, see? Yeah, that was a Devin joke. I thought I'd throw that one in there. And, you know, in honor of him today, I threw that one in there. All right, so today we're going to talk about why we work, how we work, and then how we share. And that applies to the video I just showed to you. Dorothy Sayers wrote a column or just a short work on the subject, and it's titled Why Work. She wrote this during World War II, and so this is how she summed it up on why we work. She says this, I have already on a previous occasion spoken at some length on the subject of work and vocation. What I urged then was a thoroughgoing revolution in our whole attitude toward work, our attitude toward work. Hear this. I ask that it should be looked upon not as a necessary drudgery to be undergone for the purpose of making money. Doesn't that just sound awful, a drudgery? That's just a bad sounding word. To be undergone for the purpose of making money, but as a way of life in which the nature of God should find its proper exercise and delight and so fulfill itself to do the glory of God. So to pretty much sum this up, don't work just to make money. Work to use your passions, what God has made you passionate about, what he has wired you for. Go and do that and make money and, most importantly, do it for his glory, right? Go do what you are driven to do, made to do, your passions, your desire, your talents, your gifts, and do it for the purposes and glory of God. All right, so that talks about why work. Let's talk a little bit about our purpose, okay? So let's throw it up on the screen. It should show up there, to know Jesus, to make Jesus known, and to do for his glory. So let's talk about that first part, to know Jesus. The scripture comes from Matthew 22, 37 through 39. We've probably all heard this one before. And he said to him, Jesus saying this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So in there it mentions about knowing God, and then it also talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, I should say, we're going to be skipping around in scriptures today. We are going to land in a couple of different places today. So if you want to kind of get your Bible ready, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. So we'll land there today for a good little part. We'll also be in James chapter 1, verse 22. So it's Colossians 3, James 1, 22. And then we'll be in John 4, depending on how much time I've got left in my 65 minutes. I may not read all of John 4, okay? So Colossians 3, James 1, 22, and John 4. So that first scripture was Matthew 22, 37 through 39. The next one, to make him known, to know him and to make him known. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that interesting to you? They saw Jesus. They're there with him. He has been resurrected from the grave. He's there, and some of them doubt. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations to make him known, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's to know Jesus. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. And then the last one, do for his glory. This is 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever it is you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's focus on that, whatever you do. Think about right now what you do. Do you do it for the glory of God? Man, that's a tough question, right? Now think about that. Look what was written here. Whether you eat or drink, I mean, that's to the basics, right? We're all eating and drinking every day, right? Whether you eat or drink or whatever it is you do, do it for the glory of God. So here's a practical application here today. Whatever you do, I'm an educator, go do it for the glory of God. If you're a painter or not very good painter or artist, like you mentioned this morning, do it for the glory of God, right? Young people in here today, whatever you're going to be, whether it's a movie maker, a ball player, and maybe you're a workout person, maybe that's one of your hobbies, you work out, I'm a runner, that's my hobby, do it for the glory of God. I was a fast food worker. If you're a fast food worker, do it for the glory of God. I worked at Crystal Burger from the day I could work, June 26th, when I turned 16, right? Okay, June 26th, my birthday. That very day, I started working at Crystal Burger, all right? And then I worked there through college. I wasn't saved the first year I worked at Crystal Burger. There's no telling what words I said, okay? But then the following years, I knew Jesus. And man, I got on people's nerves because I was back there singing. I was happy. Why in the world is he happy to be at the Crystal Burger today? I don't know. It's because of Jesus, right? If you're a communications director, construction worker, designer, volunteer, whatever it is you are, whatever it is you do, do it for the glory of God. I think about Tim Tebow when I think about ball player. I was listening to a podcast this week, and he just happened to be in there speaking. And you guys probably remember him. He beat Alabama a couple times. And so there was a year when they played Oklahoma in the national championship game. Anybody remember that? What did he wear? He had eye black on. All year long, he wore... not all year, but part of the year, he saw his teammates wearing eye black, and what they would put underneath there was their area code. All right, so like 304, you know, whatever the area code was where they lived at. And so he thought, how can I use this in a way to glorify God? So he put on there Philippians, he put Phil 413 on there. And so, you know, people started to notice and look it up, and people started to ask him questions about it. Media, he loved talking to media. They'd ask him about it, right? He said there's even a guy named Phil that walked up to him and said, Tim, I cannot believe you. Are you doing this for me, putting Phil 413 on there? What's the 413 mean? He's like, no, I'm not doing this for you. But then he decided to change things up, going to the national championship game. He changed from Philippians 4:13, something that was working. He's felt like God was stirring in his heart, right? And hear me here. Was he working with his team to try and win the national championship? Sure, okay? That's the part we're talking about in Matthew 22. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? When you're working with people, when you're doing something along with people, it's just naturally going to come out that you love and you do things with them, okay? But he had a bigger purpose, and that was to share Jesus. And so he put John 3:16 underneath. During that football game, 94.1 million people Googled John 3:16. Didn't matter if he won or lost the game, right? Not in his mind. Now, they did end up winning. And you know what his response was? How in the world did 94.1 million people not know John 3:16? That was his response. He tells it a lot better than I do. But listen to me. He did what he did for the glory of God. Do what you do for God's glory. All right, to sum that up, to know Jesus, to make Jesus known, and to do for his glory. Our aim is for people to hear about Jesus right where we're at. Do what you do to make Jesus known. God wants you to use your vocation, your job, your hobbies, your talents, your skills for his glory and his renown, for his recognition. And I want to note this. He's not calling everybody to be a pastor, right? I'm not called to be a pastor. I just happen to be speaking today. I'll lead worship, but he's not called me to that. He's called me to be an educator and to serve kids, serve people, serve families, serve adults. That's what he's called me to do. And so I try my best every day to go out there and do that for his glory and for his name. Now, to some of you, he is calling you possibly to be a pastor or worship leader or to work inside the church. It's fine. You know, the Bible is not saying, and I'm not saying today, that we're going to take you out of what you were doing and try and get you inside the church and just use your gifts and talents inside the church. Yes, use your gifts and talents inside the church. Serve inside of the church. When we have opportunities to go out into our community on our Serve Our City days, yes, come out, volunteer, use your talents and gifts for the glory of God. But in your day-to-day life, do what you do, what he has wired you for his glory and to share Jesus. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, all right? So how do we work? Let's talk about that. We work in a God-honoring way. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he tried all sorts of things in life, okay? And this is what he came up with at the end of it. He said, the end of the matter, all has been heard. I've heard everything. I've tried everything. I've listened. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. First, let's point out in verse 14, this kind of scared me a bit reading this week. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's a little scary, right? God already knows everything, so just know that. In the first part, in a God-honoring way, fear God and keep his commandments. And then Philippians 1, 27, it says this, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I'm not sure if we put 28 up there, but it says this, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. So we do things in a God-honoring way, and know this, when we're at work, okay, and I'm going to talk about this here in a minute, and when we're doing things for the glory of God, and we are sharing the gospel, is it always just going to be easy? Are we going to come up with no opponents to the gospel? No, that's not the case. And here in 28, Philippians 1, 27, 28 says, and not be frightened in anything by your opponents. You're going to have opponents to the gospel. All right, so how we work in a God-honoring way, we work with all of our might. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, I love this verse, it says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in the grave, in Sheol, that means grave, to which you are going. So it's just a fact, we're all going to die one day. If you didn't know that, I'm breaking the news to you right now. It's going to happen. So while you're here on earth, whatever your hands find you to do, do it with all your might. Plan. Work hard. Do it for the glory of God. The next thing, how do we work in a God-honoring way? With all of our might and with our minds focused on God and his plan. This is Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So let's break apart a little bit of, or a couple of things here. It says, set your minds on things that are above, where Christ is, where he's seated. And then the next thing it says, not on things that are on earth. How easy is it for us to get caught up on those things that are on earth, right? All right, I'm going to make a confession here. My wife, I don't know where she's at, but she may say amen. Right there she is. Her head just popped up. So if you hear a big amen, it's from her. So Luke, he plays a lot of sports, right? And so he hit basketball season, and, you know, he had a pretty good year. He developed as a player. He's 6. I'm talking about developing as a player. I mean, right there is my mindset right there. I got to change that. You hear me? He's 6 years old, development of a player at 6. So anyways, he got better throughout the year. Now, let me tell you something about my son. He will throw it up from anywhere when he's playing basketball. Thank you, Steph Curry. He will throw it up from, he's trying to hit three-pointers. He just can't do it. You know, he's just not strong enough yet. Even though the goals, you know, set at 8, 8.5 foot, whatever it is. And so anyways, this very last game, we're playing out in Priceville, and he did not have a good game. He just wasn't focused. He didn't hit any baskets. He hit his foul shots, and Susan may be hiding after I say this. So we got on to him pretty good because he just didn't hustle. He just wasn't playing hard. And then after we got on to him pretty good, we were sitting there reflecting as parents as we do, you know, and he cried a little bit. And Susan and I were like, man, we were just too hard on him. Because guess what? It's just a game. You know what I'm saying? Was I setting my minds on things that are of above? No. Right there, I was focusing on the things on earth. You know what? God taught me another lesson in that. Guess what? That was his very last game of the year that he played. When the tournament came up, Luke got a fever virus. He didn't get to play in his tournament. Oh, it killed my heart because I wanted him to play again so that we can encourage him the next time that he played, right? And not say anything bad or be like, you didn't hustle enough. You didn't play hard enough. Those things are fleeting. They're going to go away. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Anybody else had a parent fail like that or... And you can raise your hand, please, someone. Thank you, Super Dave, raising your hand. Thank you, man. Goodness, my wife is in hiding back there in the sound booth. She doesn't even want to talk about it. But that's where you get back up. You set your mind and your heart and your focus on Jesus, right? You reflect. We reflected that night, and we realized, man, we were too hard on him. The next day, I bet we gave him 1,000 hugs, encouraged him so much. You know what I'm saying? So how we work, a God-honoring way, with all of our might, with our minds focused on God's plan, and then two other things here, do it because of Jesus while giving thanks, and then work for the Lord, not for man. Colossians 3:17, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily. As for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. Notice it says there, whatever you do, do it as for the Lord and not for men. Because what's man going to do? Man's going to what? Let you down, right? Okay, you could climb the ladder in whatever your profession is, okay? And man's going to let you down. You're going to let people down. But the Lord is not. And when we look back on the scripture at the beginning, it says in Matthew 22:37-39, it says first, the first commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He didn't say first, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, love God first. Right? And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot of practical implications for that. If we love God and we get to know God, then we're going to know how to love our neighbor as ourself. And we're going to know that we should work for the Lord first, do it for God. And then as we work for God, it's just going to be a natural overflow that we end up serving people and working with people and loving people. So love God, love people, and you will naturally work with others around you. All right, so that's what the word says about how we should work. In a God-honoring way, with all of our might, with our minds focused on God's plan, do it because of Jesus while giving thanks, and then work for the Lord, not for man. All right, so that's how we work. Now, how are we going to share? Let's talk about that for a moment. You must be a doer, not just a hearer of the word. So let's look at James. We're going to look at James 1, 22 through 25. So you may want to turn there. James 1, 22 through 25. I'm at 19 minutes, 17 seconds. Add the 3 minutes that I missed. We're at 22 minutes, 17 seconds. Do the math. I've got over 30 minutes left, right? 40 minutes left. I'm bad at math this morning. So James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So we must be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. I was listening to one of my friends preach this week, and he was preaching on this. I listen when I run, when I'm out running. That can be bad because you might get hit. So I try and listen to it on low. But he said this: what are you doing? This is one of the first questions you can ask in terms of being a hearer and a doer. You're at church this Sunday, right? Many of you were here last week or the week before. What did you do with the sermon last week that Devin spoke on? Can anyone in here remember what he spoke on last week? Anybody remember? You can just nod your head. You don't have to tell me. Some of you are like, I don't remember. So here's my question to you. Are you being convicted on Sunday and then obedient on Monday? Do you hear what I'm saying? You're applying what you're learning on Sunday, or you're applying what you're learning in your study of the Bible, maybe in your devotional, in your one-on-one time with the Lord, in your small group time, maybe with your family on small groups here on Wednesday night. And then you're being obedient on Monday. Where do most of us go on Monday? We go to work, right? Are you being obedient on Monday and then on Tuesday and then on Wednesday, then on Thursday, then on Friday, and then Saturday you may work, you may be with your family. At that point, you need Jesus again on Sunday. Hopefully you're being obedient and loving on them on Saturday. Or are you going to forget what's been said by lunch? You're just going through the motions. That was tough for me to hear this week. Here's a couple of just practical points on this. The people around you will know if you are a doer or if you're just a hearer of the word. And that's if they even know you're a Christian. Do the people that you work with, do they know you're a Christian? And not because you say you're a Christian. You tracking with me on that? The guy in the video, the liar, you remember him? Tell people about Jesus. Actually, no, I don't. They don't even know I'm a Christian. It's funny, but man, it's sad. It's if they know you're a follower of Jesus. Just let that sink in for a minute. Your coworkers will know if you're a doer or a hearer of the word just by your actions. Your neighbors. When I talk about neighbors, I'm not just talking about the people that you live around. I'm talking about the people that you interact with day to day. They're going to know if you're a doer or a hearer of the word. The people that you're around, maybe at ball games, at events you attend, at functions you go to, when you go out to eat, just people you do life with, do they know that you follow Jesus and then that you're a practicing Christian? In other words, you're being a doer. Now, I do want to say this, guys. You are not a Christian by the works that you do. We all understand that today, right? We are a Christian because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are saved by grace through faith. Okay, it's not by anything we can do. We're just talking about practical applications today of why work. Here's one that hit me. Your kids will know if you are a doer or just a hearer. They are watching you. I work at a school. There are 537 little kids that see me every day. They're watching. Trust me. And they're watching you. They are hearing you. They are seeing you. They're seeing what you're putting your priorities in, your money in, your time in. They hear if you are gossiping at home about someone else. They hear how you talk about people, how you walk, how you live, how you breathe. They know, right? Susan and I, we will be trying to talk about our day, and Luke will chime in. Who, Mommy? She's back there laughing because it's true, right? Go away for a minute. We just need to talk. Go run outside. Don't get hit, right? Your children may emulate who you are. They may match who you are. Watch it. Remember me? I'm putting my focus on that basketball game. God forgive me. That is not where my focus should be. It should be on him having fun at this age, right? And when we win, great. When we lose, great. He should be having fun, enjoying it right now. And I should be modeling a Christ-like manner. Whatever you do, right, do it for the glory of God. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ wherever you go. That's what we're talking about today. Wherever you go, you are doing work all the time, not just in your vocation or your place of work. You're doing work everywhere, right? Some of you are doing work right now. Some of you aren't even smiling at me or just giving me that frowny face. I got you. I'm just giving you a hard time. Your kids are watching you. If you love, they're going to love. If you serve, they're going to want to serve, hopefully. Depends on how you're serving. If you gossip, people are going to see it, not just your children. People are going to see it. And it's so easy to gossip nowadays. Man, we got that texting thing. You know what I'm saying? We can just hide behind. Your children may emulate you, like I said, match who you are. If you are placing all your eggs in the basket outside of Jesus, they may follow you and put their eggs in the same basket. Where are you putting your eggs today? Be careful, follower of Jesus, because there are so many things the devil wants to put in our way that stops us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that is sharing the word of God with the people around us, living it out. So how do we share? By being a doer, right? How can I be a doer at work? How can I share my faith at work? How can I share when I'm out and about? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to try and tell you. And here's the answer. You ready? Tell your God story. Tell your God story, right? God has done a work in your life. Tell your God story, okay? All right, so let's talk about a person in the Bible who was a doer. And let's see what this woman did in her God story, okay? So I'm not going to read all of John 4 through 30, and that's probably for your sanity more so. I will summarize it. We have gone through this in the Belief Project, throwing out a plug. We're going to start back into that next week. I think we're maybe in John chapter 5. I don't know. We've been in it for years, even before I was here. If you're going to be here for the next 20 years, we might get through the Belief Project by then. Okay, some of you, we will celebrate as you pass on to Jesus, and we'll still be in the Belief Project. And that might even be some of you young folks. All right, so to summarize it, this woman, she goes to a well, okay, to get some water. Who's there? Jesus. She runs into Jesus. She starts talking about her story, her life story, right? She says, I have no husband. Jesus says, yeah, you're right. You don't have one. You got five, okay? Summarizing it. And so Jesus said to her, go tell your husband, come here. And, of course, she said, I have no husband. You're right in what you're saying. I have no husband. You have five husbands. And the one you now have is not your husband. Woo! What you have said is true. Then the woman said, sir, I see, you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming. And then he talks about worshipers. And then it goes on down. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. he who is called the Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all these things. And then Jesus looked at her and said, I am that person, the one who's speaking. I am the Messiah. Just then the disciples came back, okay? So the disciples are coming back at this point. They marveled that he was even talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, I want you to hear this, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town, so she went back to her village. That was her testimony, people. Do you hear that? Listen to this. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. They went out of the town and they were coming to him. Her testimony, he told me everything I ever did. The woman at the well planted the seed. You see what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that here in a second. You might just be planting seeds where you're at. She shared her God story, her experience with Jesus. It was not grandiose, people. It was not a grand thing, she went back and said. It was not a four-point sermon. She did not go back and do Roman Road, the Roman Road, with her people. Anybody know what the Roman Road is? Okay, that was a good thing that we used, I think, back in the day to go out and tell people about Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. She didn't start going door to door. She didn't say, hey, let's have a prayer meeting at lunch. She didn't say that. You might scare some people off with that one. Those are all good things. She shared her testimony, her experience with Jesus. Okay, so now let's go to John 4, 39 through 42. I will read this. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, being Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. What was her testimony? He told me all that I've ever did. He told me all that I ever did. Many believed because of that testimony. Isn't that unbelievable? Like, don't you think sometimes, how am I going to share the gospel? What amazing words do I need to say? What do I need to share? She just told her God's story. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. So not only did she share her testimony, and not only did they come to know him because of that, they asked, hey, Jesus, will you stay for 2 days? They got a 2-day seminar with Jesus because of the woman's testimony, right? In the middle of him sharing the good news and his ministry, they got 2 days with Jesus. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Many believed because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. That's all that's mentioned there, right? Here's the thing. Many believe, but not all. So don't feel like when you go and tell that everybody's going to believe. It's probably not going to happen. But you know what? There might be that one or two or three that do. And you can change lives that way. Because Jesus is in the business of changing lives, and he will do that through you. She simply told her story. Tell others about what God is doing in and through your life. Yes, invite them to church. Remember the video? Those two guys, they work together. They have a lot of fun together. It started with one of them inviting the other to church. Yes, maybe even invite them to serve with us as we have our Serve Our City events. They may see Jesus through that. You just never know. But let me tell you something. You know what's going to be the most effective? You being Jesus right where you are. Anybody agree with that? I got one amen. Yes, invite them to church. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? I was invited to church, and then I heard about Jesus, and I knew I needed him. Invite people to church, yes. But they're going to see it first in you, and they're going to know if you're a doer or you're just a hearer. All right, so in conclusion, I'm wrapping up. Ooh, I'm early. I still got 35 minutes. Know Jesus. Hear his word. Do some work. Be a doer. Don't just sit here and listen every week. Don't just listen to that podcast every morning. Don't just get that devotional on your device. Be like, whoo, that was good. Apply it. Guys, I don't know about y'all. I have to set reminders on my phone. One here recently, you know what I had to set? Gosh, this is bad. I'm just telling on myself. This is bad. 4:45 every day. It's about the time I get home, right? You know what it says? Treat your family well. Oh, golly, man. So what do you think I was not doing? God convicted me. Every morning I got something in there about praying that Luke will grow in stature, right? That he will know God and that he will do great things for his glory. Every morning I put that in there. It reminds me every single day, right? I've got one in there that says, do everything in love every single morning. Because you know what? There are some times when I get adults, kids, teachers that walk into the office, or I see them when I'm out and about because I'm out and about more often. You know what? Sometimes I don't want to do everything in love, you know? When that kid may hit you or bite you or say something, call you a nice name, you know what I'm saying? So set yourself some reminders. Tell your God story, and then finally, God will supply the growth. Amen. Thank goodness I am not in charge of supplying the growth. 1 Corinthians 3:5-8. Let's hear this. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. One planted, one applied some water. Okay, so what does this mean? Throw Craig up there. And Joel. All right, this guy right here, this is Craig Sills. I ran cross country with him for 1 year. He wanted to get in shape for basketball and become good friends. This is Joe Owen. Craig invited me to church my senior year. Grace Baptist Church, Morristown, Tennessee. He invited me about August. I started going, okay? Maybe July. He was persistent. I went. He invited me to youth group Wednesday nights, not to church, which was interesting, right? I had to work on Sundays. He's like, hey, that's okay. Come on Wednesdays. I met this guy, Joe Owen, youth pastor. They planted seeds. I did some watering. And then October 26, 2001, I knew I needed Jesus. These guys right here. But it even started before that. As I started to reflect this morning, when I was going over the message, God reminded me of other people. There's this girl, my junior year of high school, Leanne Magnum. She carried her Bible everywhere she went. I'm like, man, what is up with, why is she carrying, what does she even have, first off? I didn't even know what she had, so I asked her, my Bible, why do you carry it everywhere? Because I love God. Okay. I didn't think much of it, but planting a seed. And then Morgan Riddle, he's a guy I ran with, right? And we were number one, number two runners, so we ran together all the time. He was always telling me about Jesus, just in the day-to-day, when we're running our miles, putting our miles in the day-to-day. He just kept telling me about Jesus. There's this band named Lifehouse. Anybody know who Lifehouse is? At least maybe one person in here knows who Lifehouse is. Well, anyways, they are a secular band, but they're actually started off as a Christian band, and so they're like their first album. It was nothing but songs about Jesus, even though some of them you might be able to apply to maybe your girlfriend. You hear what I'm saying? I am singing Lifehouse all the time. Didn't even know that Jason Wade, who has written some of the songs we sing on Sunday mornings, was singing about Jesus, right? I'm singing about Jesus in the car. I have no idea. Leanne Magnum, Bible, carrying it everywhere, planting a seed. Lifehouse, planting seeds. God's planting seeds in my life. Morgan Riddle, planting seeds. And then I get invited to church. Craig Sills invites me. Joe Owen, he waters. He says, hey, here's a Bible, buddy. I want you to go read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. And tell me what you think about it next week. I come back. I read it. Man, that's great. Go read this next. Go read this next. And then eventually during revival, the guy was dressed as Moses, okay? You don't forget this stuff. He's dressed as Moses. I remember I had on shorts. Must have been warm in October, like it is here in Upper East Tennessee. I had on a blue shirt. It was an American Eagle shirt. Won't forget it. That's the night I came to know Jesus. But there's been other people in my life. You don't know any of these people, do you? They're not famous people. Steve McCauley, Jerry Day, Josh Edens, Susan Lewis, my wife. She shows me mercy and grace when I don't deserve it. Devin and Ashley, each week, as we do ministry together, they share their life story, don't they? They are feeding into us. They are watering. For some of the new people that walk in the building, they're planting seeds. You hear what I'm saying? You need to go plant some seeds. Someone else may water. God will give the growth. Or somebody's already planted seeds, and you need to be watering by the way you live. People are watching. Go be a doer of the word. Don't just hear it today. Don't just hear it last week and then forget about it by lunch. You know, in some places, lunch is very good. And then you have a nap after that. I'm getting a little bit older, so I forget things after my nap. You know, I'm a little disoriented. Okay, so I get you. I'm right there with you. But you got to apply it. Because in the end, what matters most to you? Is it you and the recognition that you're going to receive? Or is it Jesus? And that people came to know him. There's saving power in the name of Jesus. There's resurrection power in the name of Jesus. He can change your life. He changed mine. Did he change your life? That's all I get is a yes. Did he change your life? Go tell your God story with people. Guys, I could have been done in about 4 minutes today, couldn't I? I shouldn't have went through all that scripture. I should just go tell your God story, right? Here's the thing about Joel and Craig. You know what they did? They just told their God story. Little Leanne, carrying her Bible everywhere, told her God story. She was in the Word. She didn't tell me anything about Jesus other than that she loved him. Carrying her Bible around. Go tell your God story. They were obedient in telling their God story. They showed their God story, and I saw Jesus. Right? It's that simple. Why work? God will use you where you are for his name and his renown. God has strategically placed you where you are right now for a purpose. Think about that when you go in tomorrow, or whatever day you work next. Or wherever you're going this afternoon, he has placed you there for a purpose. I believe that. You can tell your God story where he has placed you. Plant the seeds of the kingdom of God where you are. People may just see Jesus. And then they may start asking you questions. Man, I see you got that smile on your face, brother. Why are you smiling? God's good to me. Hey, what are you doing Sunday? Why don't you come to church with me, right? Or, hey, this is what happened. Why am I smiling? My goodness, there's this guy, good-looking guy that spoke yesterday at my church. He told me about planting seeds. It blessed my life, and I'm still smiling because he's so good-looking. I'll talk to you afterwards, Mark. Love you, brother. But I got to throw out the disclaimer, guys. It's not always going to be easy, right? It's not. You may face persecution or face some trouble or some trials, but you know what? You persevere, you follow God, you keep planting the seeds, you do it over and over and over again, there will be a reward. God will protect you. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, right? I'm paraphrasing. You will have trouble. He said, take heart because what? He has overcome the world. He's done it. He's won. He's already won. We're going to face some trouble in this world, but he's already won. He's overcome the world. All right. So why work? So we can plant those seeds and tell people about Jesus.